We have the privilege of having one of our elders speak today, teach Matt Early. Where's Matt? Oh, there he is. Let's welcome up Matt. Let me pray for Matt. Father, just thank you for your grace and your mercy over us. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of Matt and Tracy and their family and who they are to our body. Lord, I thank you for their heart for winning people to Christ and discipling them and helping them and encouraging them and shepherding them. And Lord, I ask that you would anoint him now by your Spirit, that he would share clearly and cogently and convincingly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Morning, everybody. Okay, we got some good stuff to get into today. So for those of you guys who have missed it and haven't been here for a while, we've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit, kind of understanding, unlearning a little bit of what we think that we know about the Holy Spirit, maybe some false teaching that we've had in the past, some bad teaching, or maybe we just don't know. We just have these ideas in our head of who the Holy Spirit is and how he functions. And our heart in this series is that we would relearn who the Holy Spirit is, learn afresh about his role in our lives. And the intent in all this is ultimately that we would not only learn who the Spirit is and what the Spirit does, but that we would learn what a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit looks like. We see all in Acts about the apostles and disciples going out filled with the Holy Spirit. But our heart in this is that we would all as a church come to understand, what does a life filled with the Holy Spirit look like? And just as a little side note on here, if you guys are like me, for a long time I called the Holy Spirit it. Like, it moves in mysterious ways. The Holy Spirit, it's awesome. Things like that. And I was wrong in that. That was some teaching that wasn't corrected in my life. Because the Holy Spirit is not cousin it from the family, from the TV show. It doesn't sit in the corner. Holy Spirit isn't the cousin it. The Holy Spirit is a person. It is he. It is he. He is a he. And oftentimes we don't understand and recognize the personhood of who the Holy Spirit is, but we recognize him as just the cousin it. And we kind of shove the Holy Spirit in the corner because we're scared of him, maybe. We don't understand fully who he is, what he's about, what he does. We're scared of him a lot of times. We're scared of, what is the Holy Spirit? Is it going to be like weird and start shaking and make me fly around the room? Or who knows what's going to happen? What's the Holy Spirit do? And so our heart in this is to learn who, practically, who the Holy Spirit is. And my big, and what we're going to get into today, one part of a life filled with the Holy Spirit is a life as a body lived in unity. And that's what we're going to be getting into today, to understand that God has called us to live a life of unity as a body. And God has not only called us, but he has empowered us to live that life. So if we could have the scripture readers come up. We're going to read Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. So if you could turn there in your Bibles, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, and follow along with us.
Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. So we're going to jump around through a few verses in here. And you can kind of keep your finger in a few of these, because we'll jump back to them a few times in here. But Ephesians 4, and this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. And he says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the life to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And Paul is urging them, he's beseeching them, exhorting them to walk out in a manner worthy of their calling so that they can maintain the unity in the so that they can maintain unity as a body. And unity, just for a quick definition here, what we're talking about, unity is the state of being made one. If you look it up and define it, it's the state of being one, or a condition of harmony. So that's what we're talking about in here. We as a body, God is making us into one. And God's heart and desire for us is that we would live in harmony. He says that we are called to one Lord, to one faith, and one baptism. We are called, as we say in the title here, we are called to be all in one. All of us are one in Christ Jesus. We all have one Lord. We have all been baptized into one baptism. We have all been given one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We are called to be one in Jesus. All of us are subject to the Lordship of Christ. Every single one of us. We all have the Lordship of Christ. He is the head over us as the body. And I want you to stop, take a minute here. And look around at the people next to you. Look around. Purple people all around you in front and behind. You guys are all blood related. If you're a Christian, you guys are all blood related. Yes, even that person. Even that person. You're kind of like, seriously? Man, maybe they were adopted. No, they're all, you guys are all blood related through the blood of Jesus Christ. All of us are. All of us have one Lord, one Father, and we are all related by his blood. Jump with me to one other scripture. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 through 13. Okay, another one of Paul's letters to the church. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and let there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? So what's going on in here is Paul is again appealing to this church to walk in unity. He's looking at this one church in Corinth and saying, walk in unity. Because they were broken into these sects that were all claiming a spiritual father. Like, no, no, no. When Paul came, I was saved by his preaching, so I'm following him. No, I'm following Apollos. And they weren't recognizing that Jesus is the head over all. It doesn't matter who our leaders are, who they might be, all of us are designed to follow one God, one Lord, one Jesus, and all of us have one Bible to lean on for the doctrine and for faith. He says, let there be no divisions among you. I.e., that's saying, let nothing divide you. Let nothing divide you. We as a body need to be on our guard, watching out for anything that would cause divisions. So we can say, whoa, 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 no, 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 no. Not that. That's going to divide us. No, no. We need to be on our guard watching for those things. Another verse, if you look later in Corinthians, jump to 1 Corinthians 12. So just a few chapters later. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. So, all of us were called to be part of one body. Again, one head, and all of us are parts of that body. And David's going to get into this scripture a lot more next week, this text, so I won't get too far into it this week. But all of us are under the lordship of the head. Because just like our human bodies, our head tells us what to do. It sends little synapses. I don't even know how it works. But our brain tells our body different things to do, and our body does it. Wouldn't it look pretty stupid and funny if we couldn't control the parts of our body, if like our arm was just flapping around and we couldn't stop it, if all those things, if we couldn't control our body, it would look pretty funny. If my arm just decided it didn't want to cooperate and wanted to go do something else, and it wanted to slap me in the face or something like that, or go walking away, it would look pretty funny, because that's not how a body is meant to work, meant to function. It's meant to function as one. The head gives the body direction, tells it, okay, body, this is our purpose, this is our mission, get out of bed, get out of bed. Let's all cooperate, hands, moves, legs, oh, legs still asleep, okay, let's move more arms. Whatever it might be, the head tells the body what to do, and the body cooperates with it to accomplish that purpose and that objective, that mission, that vision. And so it is with us as a body. Jesus Christ is our head. And he tells us, he guides us and directs us in what to do. And we, as a body, as a unit, are to respond in unity to accomplish the will of the head. Okay? So there's a Peanuts cartoon that, some of us remember that. That was a long time ago when those were really out. So Peanuts cartoon, where you have Linus is sitting in front of the TV, and he's just watching TV. And Lucy walks in, and she says, Linus, I don't like that channel. Let's watch something else. Change the channel. And Linus says, what makes you think that you can just walk in here and take over and watch whatever you want? And Lucy, you guys know Lucy if you know her, she doesn't take no for an answer. She says, these five fingers, individually, they're nothing. But when they're curled together into one fist, into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. Linus stops for a minute and he says, what channel do you want to watch? And then, while she's kind of flipping through the channels, he looks down at his fingers and says, man, why can't you guys get organized like that? See, all of us are under the vision and mission of Jesus Christ, under his lordship and direction. And as we work together as a unit, like Lucy's hands and a fist, if we work together as a unit, we're so much more effective and powerful for the kingdom of God than if we just each went and did our own individual things. And we'll get into that a bit more later, too. One other scripture I want to take you to is John 17. So the book of John, verse 17. Looking at verses 20 through 23, and John 17 is one of my favorite chapters. This is what they call like the high priest prayer. This is Jesus praying to the Father shortly before he's arrested. So this is just cool, man. I mean, this is God talking to himself. We like enter into this heavenly dialogue between Jesus and his Father, which is just awesome. So verses 20 through 23, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved me, even as you have loved me. You get the idea here? Jesus wants us to be one. He repeats it like three times in that text. Jesus' prayer to his Father shortly before he gets arrested, focus on let them be one. Let them be one. All who have believed. That's all of us. All who have believed. And if you look in verse 22, you'll see something kind of crazy, actually. Verse 22, that they may be one, even as we are one. Wow, talk about unity. If you're like, we're doing pretty good in unity, we're not too bad. Unity is talking about even as Jesus and God are one, so we as a church are to be one. Wow, that's pretty intense. I mean, the relationship that the Father and the Son have, we're supposed to have that as a body, that we would be one. That is a high calling. And if you look at this too, it's interesting. Our unity is a sign to the world that that the gospel is true and that God loves us. It's one of the signs to the world that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you loved me. So it's a sign to the world. How are we doing? What are we showing to the community around us by our unity as a family of God, as a body of Christ. What are we showing? What are we showing to the community around us? And I want to make a few quick notes in here too. All of these verses make the presupposition, if you see into them and read into them, that all Christians are committed members of a body of Christ. And we've talked about this before, but it's always worth reiterating. There is no example in Scripture of a Lone Ranger Christian, of somebody who's just off doing their own thing. I'm not part of a body. I'm doing what I want to. If you look at all these Scriptures that we're getting into, it's all in the context of being one as the body of Christ, being one as a church. We are not called to be one as our own one. I'm just a one of one. I'm the unity of one. That is not the plan and calling of God. There are also no examples in the Bible of believers other than called apostles or missionaries floating from church to church. I'm very passionate about this myself. I believe, because I love the local church. I love getting built in and established in the local church and seeing the local church grow and working through the problems and issues that are going to happen to see that church flourish. I don't believe that it's the plan and will of God that we would float from church to church and go from church to church, because God has called us to be one within a body of Christ, to be established as one within a body of Christ for effective discipleship and growing within that body. It's really hard to grow and be established in a body when you're floating around from church to church to church. God calls us to be in unity as a body. Okay, and there are one other note in here. There is a time when unity is not to be sought. One other quick little joke for you. So the Lone Ranger and Tonto, you guys know Lone Ranger and Tonto, they're riding through this canyon together, side by side, buddies. All of a sudden, all around them, on both sides of the canyon, they hear the sound of drums beating and shouting and screaming. And suddenly they find themselves surrounded by a big band of angry Indians, all with weapons in hand, shouting and screaming at them and ready to attack. In panic, the Lone Ranger looks at Tonto and says, "Tonto, what are we going to do?" And Tonto calmly looks back and said, "What do you mean, we, white man?" You see, we're not supposed to abandon unity just when it's convenient. Not when it's convenient. We don't just say, this isn't quite working out. I'm just going to walk away. Good luck. You're on your own. Have fun. See, as a family, we work through problems. We work through challenges. We work through issues. Convenience is not a means to get away from unity that God has called us to. If you have an issue with somebody, we'll get into that. You need to deal with it as part of the family life. And I'm just going to give you a few scriptures, an example in here. We won't look them up, but you can write them down, look them up when you get a chance later. 2 John 7, verses 7 through 11 talks about if a person is a false teacher, if a person is teaching what is contrary to the word of God, then the Bible calls us to be separated from them. If they're not following the Christian faith, the Bible calls us not to walk in unity, to be separated from them. Another time, in 1 Corinthians 5:9-13, he talks about when somebody who calls themselves a member of the church is walking in unrepentant sin, when they're just shamelessly indulging in sin, and they have no mark of repentance, they're not trying to turn their life around, not trying to walk in God. The Bible says to stay away from such people. They're a bad influence, because they can drag the rest of people into sin. And finally, in Romans 16:17-19, it talks about when a member causes division. If somebody's in a body and they're trying to cause division, they're trying to wrench people apart, and again, they will not change, they are unrepentant, and maybe it is through false teaching that they're trying to rip people apart, then again, the Bible says to get that person out from among their midst, to separate them from them, because God is predominantly interested in the unity and holiness of his body. And there are very strong warnings in Scripture for those who cause divisions. I don't cause divisions. Very strong warnings and punishment given in Scripture for those who do that. God is very passionate about the unity of his people. And finally, today what we're going to be talking about is individual bodies of Christ. which is, I believe, the context where most of what we're reading in the Bible is written. Most of Paul's letters were to individual churches. However, the unity of the church is also, the unity of the universal church is also, I believe, important and part of God's plan. I read this that I thought was kind of, was true and was interesting. It was talking about denominational splits. I don't know if you're like me, sometimes you wonder, okay, denominational splits, that's got to be a mess, that can't be a good thing. But what they talk about is those don't have to be contrary to the plan and will of God. If churches will cross over those and work together to accomplish the mission and vision that Jesus has, if they adhere to the basic tenets of the faith and are striving to the same mission, we can work in unity with other churches to see the plans and purposes of God achieved. It's kind of like, just like we were talking about above, unless they're not following the tenets of Scripture or they're engaging in shameless sin. But otherwise, we should be working in cooperation as the universal body of Christ. So I encourage you guys, pray for other pastors, pray for other church leaders, pray for other churches that they would grow and that they would flourish. Just pray for CCC more. I'm just kidding. But my heart, it's not a competition. We are not in competition with The Rock or Glacier View or any other church in town. I would love to see every church filled up with people worshiping and loving God, digging into the Word of God and thriving. I would love to see that. So pray for other churches. Pray for them to grow. Pray for God to establish more people there. Okay, so my second point in here, we've seen that God has called us to live a life of unity. The cool thing is that God, always where God calls, God empowers. Always where God calls us, God empowers us. They always go hand in hand. Nobody will ever be called to do something that God will not empower them to do. So if you go back to Ephesians, again, keep your finger in some of these verses because we'll be jumping back and forth to them here. Go back to Ephesians again, chapter 4. And we'll look at kind of how to live a life of unity a little bit, what he talks about in there. He says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We need to walk out our Christian faith, not just let ourselves be called a Christian. We need to walk it out. And he also says, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Look at that word bearing for a minute. How many women in here have borne children, have been tasked with bearing children? Is it fun and easy? I'm just curious. I've never done it, so. Is it fun and easy? From my experience and from what witnessing, it doesn't look fun and easy. Bearing children does not look fun and easy. Bearing, that just doesn't sound good. Bearing means like heavy, hard. Bearing with one another in love. Unity is not easy. Unity takes work. Paul addresses it a lot in his letters that we see in here because it was a constant issue. There were always people trying to divide the church, cause problems. There were always issues with that in the body. Because it does take work, it takes effort. Oftentimes it's contrary to what we want to do, to our fleshly desires that want to be, it's about me, it's about me, I want to do this, I want to do this. It's contrary to sometimes what we want to do and our emotions. Just because we go to church together does not mean that we are in unity. I have three daughters and they all live very closely together. Sometimes they all sleep in one bed. That does not mean that they live in unity. Trust me, proximity does not mean unity. It's not about proximity. Those of you who are married, you know that. You can sleep in the same bed together. You can do everything together. That doesn't mean you're in unity. It takes work. It takes effort. There's a lot to do with it. If you ever tie the tails of two cats together, throw them over a clothesline, they're in unity, but boy, they're together, but they're not in unity. Anybody ever tried that? Boy, it's fun to watch. I'm just kidding. I haven't tried it. Okay. he says eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. We have to desire unity. We need to desire unity. It will never happen if we do not want to see it happen, if we are not seeking it out and praying for it. And if you don't have that desire for unity, then ask God to give it to you. Ask God to give you a desire for unity, to have his heart, to have his mission. It is God's will, as we've seen on a number of times. So, if you look at the list in here in Ephesians, you see where you've been called in humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. Look again, one other scripture I want to take you to, just the next or two books over. We're going to Colossians chapter 3. Jump over to Colossians 3, and we're going to look at 12 through 14. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So look again at that list that he's got up here. He says, put on as God's children, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. Does any of that list look kind of familiar from that in Ephesians? If you don't know it, and we've talked about it a little bit, it's very similar to the fruits of the Spirit that they talk about in Galatians 5. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Very, very similar. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. You see, walking in the fruit of the Spirit is key towards living in unity. Walking out those characteristics are key and very important. If you look at him, humility, he talks about living in humility. That's putting our own needs and desires in the back seat when it comes to unity, putting our own needs and desires in the back seat to see the group goal achieved. We might have our own agenda, like, I want to do this, I want this to happen, but it's coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ and under the cooperation of the body. And gentleness, it's not being harsh or abrasive, it's not being dictatorial to each other, it's being gentle with each other. And patience, that's an important one. Patience is being slow to anger. Slow to anger. We shouldn't be quick to jump on each other and quick to attack each other. Bible talks constantly, a characteristic of God himself, slow to anger and abounding in love. Slow to anger, bearing with each other's faults. Bearing with each other's faults. Does anybody here have any faults? If you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. All of us have faults. All of us have faults. And guess what? You have to bear with other people's faults because other people have to bear with your faults. And trust me, we all have faults. Everybody has to bear with my faults. My family has to live with my faults. And they have to live, and I have to live with theirs. And we all have to live together with each other's faults. We're all fallen human beings. And there are going to be issues we have to bear with each other. And kindness, he talks about, that is treating each other with love and respect. And putting the needs of others often before our own. And compassion. He talks about compassion. That's a genuine concern for people. A genuine concern. It's not, hey, how's it going, man? And walking on our way expecting, oh, I'm good. Okay, cool. God bless you. It's a genuine concern for people that moves beyond just, hey, how's it going? But actually cares about people and motivates us to action. Motivates us to action. I finally actually did something on Facebook. I never use Facebook. I've never touched it. I don't do anything with it. And I finally used it for something the other day, like for Tracy's birthday. And it was an epic fail. It worked very badly. For those of you who responded and did stuff, that was awesome. But I botched what I did on Facebook badly. But in and through it, I see Facebook, there's all these things going around on Facebook. And more than I ever have time to look at. I don't care what Joe Blow ate for breakfast that day. I don't need to know at all. But people are posting stuff all over Facebook. And Facebook can be an awesome way for people to reach out to each other, to see in compassion. If you see somebody that posts something, you're like, whoa, it's not an opportunity for gossip. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to act. Call up that person, ask, hey, how are you doing, man? I saw you posted this on Facebook. What? It's social media. You're not supposed to call me. You're just supposed to, like, I am back, not talk to me. It's okay. Do that. And see it as an opportunity for ministry, as an opportunity for prayer. If you see something on there, pray for somebody on it. God can use that as an awesome avenue to reach out to people. And this is a big one that he talks about in this section in Colossians. Forgiveness, forgiveness. Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. That's pretty powerful. And if you notice in here, it says in verse 13, so you must forgive. He's not saying if you feel like it, you should forgive them. If it's okay with you and you can like work through this, forgive them. He says you must forgive them. You have to work through it and bring forgiveness. It is powerful. It is a command. It's not an option. And I don't mean to make light of that. I know there are people that have had huge offenses and huge issues with other church leaders or other church members or other people in the past that are huge. And it's not just a simple, I forgive them and move on. It takes work. It takes effort. It is hard. And I get that. And I don't mean make light of it. But you have to forgive. And we'll get into that. And we can forgive because we have been forgiven. All of us have been forgiven. If you're a follower of Christ, for an offense greater than we can ever comprehend or imagine. Jesus gave everything for us, as we sang about earlier. He gave all for us to forgive us. So we can, in that, forgive other people. Because there will be issues and problems. As in, if you've never had another issue with a fellow believer or another problem, either it's because you're never going to church and never around people, or you've been a Christian 5 minutes or less. There are going to be issues. There are going to be problems that come up. And so forgiveness is key to getting past that. And this is crazy too. Forgive as Christ forgave us. That, again, is a high calling. It's a crazy calling. Forgive as Christ forgave us. That's never looking back. That is not holding it over them at all. It is giving them complete freedom from the sin, and giving us freedom in the process. I guarantee you, if you do that, they will be free and you will be free. And he talks about it too on this. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. As David said a few weeks ago, love is the glue that holds us together in unity. Love is the glue. If we walk in perfect love as a body, if all of us will walk out in perfect love, we will have perfect unity as a body. You see, love enables us to overcome each other's imperfections. Love enables us to look past that and see, hey, this person has got issues, but so do I. We recognize that in humility. And I see in them the stamped image of Christ himself. God has breathed life into this person. God has made this person. And they are valuable and special and precious to God. And in that, I can love them. God has called us to walk out in love towards each other. 1 John 4:19 says, we love as a result of him first loving us. We love because God first loved us, just like forgiveness. We have the ability to love because God has showered upon us this crazy, awesome, amazing love. And in that, he has given us the ability to love others if we will walk out in his love that he has given us. But you know, in all this, there's some pretty crazy stuff in there. All these characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit and forgiveness and walking out in perfect love. It's an impossible calling in and of our own strength to accomplish that. It's impossible to live out these characteristics and live in complete unity. To have unity as God and Jesus have unity. But the encouragement for us today is that if we walk out in God's Spirit, he will enable these characteristics to come forth in us. God will. They are the fruits of the Spirit that we talk about, love and joy and peace. They are the fruits of the Spirit. They are the fruit of God's Spirit living and dwelling in us and being manifest in us as we walk it out. We are dependent on God's Spirit for unity. You see, unity is a crazy high calling. It's a huge high calling for all of us to get along. I mean, I'm in a family of five, and it's hard having unity in a family of five. We're a body of 150 or 200. It's really hard to have unity in a body of 150 and 200. But God has given us the power to do that. He's given us a Spirit to accomplish unity. Look with me. We're going to go. back to John 17. I told you we'll be jumping around in here and see some pretty cool stuff in this one here. So turn with me back to John 17. And this is another one. If you dig through this and look deep closely at the words, you can find some pretty cool stuff in here. Verse 22 says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one." And in verse 23, he says, "I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one." You see, the "that" in there indicates purpose, indicates the power to accomplish something. That. He says, God, Jesus has put his spirit within us, his glory, that we may be, that we might live as one. God is in Jesus, and Jesus is in us, that we may become perfectly one. That's a powerful "that." Those are those words you got to watch for and see. God is enabling us by giving us his spirit to live out the impossible, to become one as a body here at CCC, to live out in unity as a body at CCC, to resolve our differences, to resolve our conflicts, and walk out as one to accomplish the plans and purposes of God, to be a light to this community in Homer. God has given us the power to do that. So third, I want to look at some practicals on what exactly does unity look like. What does that look like? If you could turn with me to one more verse, we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and then we'll look at Acts chapter 4 too. And what we're going to see, this is the life of the early church. This is the early church and some snapshots, basically, of how the early church lived. And you've probably seen these before, a number of you guys, but there's some awesome stuff in there to be able to get. So Acts 2, 42 through 47. "And they," that's all the believers, "devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." And jump with me to one other, Acts 4, 32 through 35. So just next page or so over, Acts 4, 32 through 35. "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him were his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. And there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and as it was distributed to each as any had need." So if you look at there at some characteristics of the early church, they devoted themselves to teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's, they devoted themselves to the word of God in the form that they had it then. They were all focused on the teachings of Christ. They were united in teaching, in doctrine, and united in love of the word, and in fellowship. See, they were connected to each other. A number of times in there, we see the word "together," together, together. These guys weren't just seeing each other on Sunday morning. These guys were talking, interacting with each other. They were on Facebook, befriending each other constantly, texting each other all the time, calling each other constantly, writing each other, seeing what was going on in each other's life. These guys were doing life together, doing life together. They were staying connected with each other. And you see, they were united in mission. And I think that's cool. They all had the mission of walking out this life. They were going to the temple, praising God, worshiping God. They were going out and speaking the word of God and truth to unbelievers. They were united in the mission and purpose of God to see people grow, to give glory to God and to see his kingdom grow. And they had all things in common. They were providing for each other's needs. They were protecting each other. protecting each other from physical harm, from spiritual harm, as well as from financial need, from needs. They were caring for each other's needs. And the result was that we see in here in both of these texts that they had great favor with the people. Because the people saw, wow, look at the church. Look at what God is doing with that group of people that is walking out in such unity and love for each other. That is awesome. And the people, no matter if they believed or not, they had favor because they recognized that something is going on up there. Something is happening up at CCC. Look at how those people live in unity and fellowship. Man, they have a connection and a relationship with each other that, man, I envy. That's how it should be. And God was adding daily those who were being saved. God was drawing people to the church as a result of the way that this church was living and how they were walking together in unity and how they were fulfilling the mission and plan of God together. Another example of this, they call it the Roman testudo formation from looking at it. You probably haven't heard that word, but you've seen it before. It's like all the Romans, when they go into battle and all their shields are interlocked on each other. Like all around, you see shields around them and up top and above each other. All around them is covered with shields. Because these guys were taught and trained to walk in perfect unity and to obey in perfect unity. When the commander in the garrison said, boom, testudo, and they'd all just jump into this formation, lock shields together tight. And even just one, and what they were doing was they were protecting each other and getting ready for battle. These guys were trained and ready for battle, and they worked as one unit under the commander's orders. And just one guy out of place, if one guy said, oh, no, I want to go charge out there and go take out the other guy's commander. I want to get glory for myself. And he just broke rank and charged. There's all of a sudden this gaping hole right in there, an opportunity for the enemy to attack. But they worked together. It was kind of, for those of you guys who have seen the Russell Crowe movie Gladiator, it was interesting to watch because normally the gladiators, they were just all out there to fight for themselves, get their own glory, get their own freedom. And so that's all they knew. So when they were dumped out, even as a team out into this arena, they just all charge off in different directions, fighting whatever they could find. But then you had Russell Crowe come in there and this really buff guy. I'm Maximus Decimus Meridius, blah, 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 all this cool speech. And what he did, though, was he said, hey, guys, no, let's fight together as a team. And he taught them how to lock those shields and how to fight together and work together as a unit. And before, where all these guys had known was defeat and death, suddenly they were overcoming these insurmountable odds and defeating these enemies that nobody ever thought they could because they were working together. They were working together. They were being shields around each other. And God has called all of us to be shields around each other, to protect each other, to encourage each other, to strengthen each other. We should do it through love, through encouragement. We were talking about encourage somebody today. Encourage somebody today. Really do it. Share life from the word together. Share what God's doing in your life. Challenge other people. Exhortation, genuine care, genuinely asking people how they're doing. And accountability. Accountability. Hold it. Asking people, what's going on? How are you doing with this? And sometimes confrontation. Whoa. You know, you really need to watch this. I see something in your life, and man, I just love you enough that I really want to bring this out so you can change and become more like Christ. And walking in forgiveness. If you hold something against somebody else in this body, against another Christian, you need to get it resolved. You need to get it resolved. You need to deal with that. It's not cool. It's not spiritual. It's not awesome just to stuff it and bear your cross like, I'm just taking that. If you know that, it doesn't matter which side if you're on, if you're the one that offended them or if you're the one that's been offended, if you recognize that there's some break in unity there, God has called you to step out and to restore unity in that relationship. Shields around each other. Another example of trees. Trees, when a group of trees is together and there's a big wind that blows, the trees grow together in a clump and they can stand. But a tree off on its own, snap, down they go. God's called us to be together. And I won't get into all the examples, but I know David shared a few weeks ago just the awesome examples in our body of how God is drawing people together and the acts of love and kindness that are being done in this body. I mean, people just caring for each other and loving for each other, providing for each other's needs in awesome ways, in amazing, crazy ways, just because of love, just like we were seeing in the book of Acts. God is building his church. God is building his church. Life groups. If you're not involved in a life group, why? Why? Life groups are amazing. I love life groups. We've been involved in life groups since the day I got saved 18 years ago or whenever it was. Never always been involved in a life group because I see those as an awesome opportunity and a training ground for church as a whole. Man, if you're like, man, I can never be in unity with 150 people, try like 10. That's a good starting point. Get involved in a life group and see what God will do. It's an awesome training ground to walk in unity, to walk in that intimate nature. I love our life group. God's blessed us with an amazing group. It's diverse. We've got single people. We've got married people. We've got younger people, older people like me. We've in all different places with Walk with God. We've got new Christians. We've got people who have been Christians all their life, all these together. But we come together, and our heart is to seek the word, is to seek God, to know God more. And it's awesome to see. It's awesome to see what God will do. We've helped each, it's cool to see people encouraging each other and strengthening each other and exhorting each other constantly through group. And we help each other move. We'll help each other with problems, help watch each other's kids, different things like that. It's a microcosm of how the church should be. So again, if you're not involved in a life group, get involved in it. It's a great community to be a part of to see what God will do. Care for each other. Be involved in each other's life. We're going to do communion in a little bit, but I want to wrap up real quick. Jesus has called all of us to live a life of unity as a body. All of us. God is, we have been born and baptized into one spirit. All of us. If you are a Christian, you have all been born into the same God. We're under the same lordship of Jesus Christ. We're all subject and obedient to the word of God, and God has given us all the same spirit. We are all in one. All of us are one in Christ. And he has given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live in unity. Because in and of ourselves, again, it would be impossible. You see, God has built this church, Christian Community Church, in such a way that we would walk in unity. That we would walk under the lordship of Christ and in accordance with his word. So that we can accomplish his plans and his purposes. For our own lives, that God can refine us and deal with us. You see, unity isn't just for this church body as a whole. It isn't just for the people out there to watch it and see. It's for us, too. If we have to work out issues with each other and deal with each other, God is teaching us. He's teaching us love. He's teaching us forgiveness. He's teaching us patience. He's teaching us kindness as we get to walk out that and practice that. And God is accomplishing his plans for us in our lives, in our body as a whole. Again, if we work together as a body with one mission and one plan to win and train and send, if we all work together towards that goal, we can accomplish so much more than all of us just running off and doing our individual things. And also what we can do in our community. If we were truly the body that God called us to be, walking in unity and in love, we will be a light to the world out there. I know it's so cool to see sometimes when we've done moving parties or work parties for non-believers, and these people are just amazed, like, you would just show up to help me move or to help me with a project just because? Can I pay you? Can I give you anything? No, we're just doing it to bless you. It's cool to be a light to the world that God can use as we walk in unity, as we walk in love, a light to our community and a light to the world. If I could have the communion servers come up and get ready, as well as the worship team, we'll jump into communion here in a minute. But one of the ways that God has called us to show, has given us to show our unity as a body and in the Lord, is to partake of communion. You see, communion is an awesome symbol of all of us have been baptized into one Lord. All of us has been baptized into one Father in Jesus Christ and given his spirit. Again, we are all blood relatives in him. If you could jump with me to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Again, God has called us into unity as a body. And all of us have partaken of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ through his sufferings on us. So as we partake of communion as a body, we do it as one. Because God has united us into one through his death. And God has brought all of us into this body, not by accident, but by his plan and by his purposes. God has brought us all together that we might walk out in unity to fulfill his plans and purposes, to recognize what he has done for us. And so as we get to partake of communion today, I just want us to be refreshed in that. And what I'd like to do is, I don't rush up here to partake of it. I mean, it's not a race. There's plenty of crackers. There's plenty of the wine. Don't worry. You're not going to miss out. Take your time. Take your time first to be united afresh in your walk with God, because all of us, that's where it starts. If we're united with God, God will put that spirit within us to be united with others. Again, it's him that empowers us to do that. So first, reaffirm your unity with God through prayer, through repentance, dealing with any sin issues that's in your life. Ask God's forgiveness and deal with those. And also, if you have any issues with somebody else in this body, I encourage you to deal with those. Even before you come up and partake of communion, go over and talk to that person. Deal with it. Deal with it, because God has called us to walk in unity, and he says we must forgive. God has given us the ability to do that. So deal with that. Again, take some time before you come up. No rush. We'll be playing a song in the meantime, and just enjoy the presence of God and what God has given us in the body here at CCC, that we might walk in unity. So again, as you partake, come up through the middle, then you can partake and go out around the outside.
There's no one besides you, ever though in my arms. It's all because because of you, Jesus is home. Because of you, Jesus is home. Because of your love that my soul will live. And it's home. Because of you, Jesus is home. Because of you, Jesus is home. Because of your love that my soul will live. That my soul will live. That my soul will live. Oh, to be like you, to give all I have just to know. Jesus, there's no one besides you. Forever the hope in my heart. To be like you, to give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one besides you. Forever the hope in my heart.
So again, my encouragement to you guys, just enjoy the family that God has given us here at CCC. He's brought some amazing people here into our midst. God has blessed us as a body with each and every person here. And again, each and every person here is not here on accident. God has brought us together as a family so that we can live in unity. And God has given us His Spirit to give us the power as we walk in His Spirit to live in the unity that God has called us to. So that we as a church can fulfill the plans and purposes that God has for us. To be a light here in this community. To train each other. To refine each other. To help each other bear more of the image of Christ Himself. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this body. And Lord, I thank you for all the churches here in this community, around the world, Lord, who exalt you and lift up your word. And Father, I pray for us as well as them, Lord, that you would build us together in unity. And I thank you, Father, that you've given us your Spirit who enables us to live in that, to live in unity, Father. And I pray, first of all, that you would give us the desire for unity. Lord, that we would strive, Father God, that there would be no offense within the body. And Lord, that we would be watchful and careful for anything that would cause division, either in our own hearts that would seek to divide us from the body, or outside attacks, Father, that you give us eyes and ears to see those and to recognize those, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you would help build us together. I pray that love and forgiveness would flow in our body freely, that we would care for each other truly and deeply, Father God. And I pray that we would be one in your mission and in your purposes, Father God. Lord, that people would, in this community, would be able to look and see the light that is in us, Father God. To see something different that is out, than what is out there in the world. That we would truly be a light on the hill, Father God, that you've called us to be as a church. And Lord, I pray that as people see that they would lift up your name and give glory to you, Father. That they would see that it is your hand that is at work in our body, and that it's you that are doing it. And Father, we just pray again that you would build your church, Father, in each of our hearts, Father God, and in this body as a whole. Build us together, Father God, that we can bring glory to your name, that your name would be lifted up. We love you, Jesus, and we pray all these things in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you for coming. Have an awesome week.